B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that Bill is going to talk himself or let Saban talk him into Mac Jones.
And are you becoming more convinced Cam Newton could be back?
I'm going to change this guy's name. This guy's name isn't Mac Jones. It's Jag Jones. Because that's what he is. He's a Jag. Jag Jones.
I'm sorry, Gasper. I just obviously can't get enough of that cut. Chris Gasper, as he does every Friday at this hour, joins us here on the program, and he is brought to you by our friends at Premier Basement Waterproofing. Where's my Reed? Stand by. Hold on. I want to properly introduce him. It's a no-brainer who the number one pick is in this year's draft, and it's a no-brainer who the number one pick is when it comes to keeping your basement dry. That's the waterproofing guru, our guy, Mike Albert, and his team. To schedule with Crystal, call 844-LIVE-DRY or visit premierbasement.net. And everyone say it together, because that's how it is meant to be done. What is it for water?
It's game over for water.
It's game over for water. Okay, again, thanks to our friends at Premier Basement Waterproofing. Bring us Chris Gasper of Channel 5. Chris, how you doing, kid?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Okay, we are great. Tell me how you feel about the selection of Mac Jones.
Well, as you can see, this was a nightmare night for me personally. The fact that this guy fell to them. I'll tell you, I think the only person more upset than me that he fell to 15 was Bill Belichick. I don't think this was what he wanted to do. I think that they graded out the quarterbacks, and he was a guy that they graded as a fit for their system. They look at him as someone who is safe. It's sort of the quarterback Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. This guy can distribute the ball. He can execute their system. That's great. But I also think Bill doesn't need, in his mind, to take a guy at number 15 overall to find that. And he certainly was not as excited. And I was speaking with somebody in the NFL about this last night and again today. There's a noticeable difference to me, and the level of excitement he projected when they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo in 2014 and when they drafted Mac Jones last night. I think he was a lot more excited about Garoppolo than he is about Mac Jones. That doesn't mean he doesn't like Mac Jones. I think he does. But I think that all things being equal, if he could have gone into this draft and had Jimmy Garoppolo in his pocket, because remember, they really turned up the heat the day before the draft in terms of trying to tell everybody the 49ers had no place to go, you know, like Richard Gere and an officer and a gentleman, nowhere else to go other than New England to offload Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he wanted to have Jimmy in his pocket before they started this draft so they could address other needs. I think if Mac Jones had not been on the board, they would have been more than happy to address another need. They liked Devontae Smith. He went ahead of them. They liked that Elijah Vera Tucker kid. He went right before them. It was certainly not a fait accompli that they were taking Mac Jones. I think the people most excited or more excited about Mac Jones, it's ownership. And it's Josh McDaniels. I think Josh McDaniels has really sold big time on Mac Jones.
Okay, Chris. And we'll get into some of those differences. You, in your email, pointed them out. Bill's comments the night Garoppolo was drafted and his comments last night. A little bit different in tonality. But if Bill didn't really want to do this, why do you think he did? What were the factors involved?
I think the factors involved are the fact they have a long-term need here. He knows that you don't always get it right the first time when you're trying to draft one of these guys, and the fact that Mac Jones is he's a very safe pick. I don't think he'll be a complete bust. I mean, the nickname I've given him is not Suck Jones. It's Jag Jones. Jag is just another guy. That means average to above average. And they can probably make him even better than a Jag. They can probably, you'll get your wish here, Felger. You're going to get to watch Andy Dalton quarterback the Patriots. Are you happy? You're getting your wish, because this is what you'll get to see, what it looks like with Andy Dalton. They might even be able to get him up to Kirk Cousins level with their level of coaching from Josh and Bill. He's safe. I don't think he has a high ceiling, but he has a floor that is very safe for you. And I think at the end of the day, that's why they did it. And they did it because everybody else who was grading out that draft, all the other people who were doing it were looking at it and saying, this is the highest rated guy on our board at a clear position of need. We need to take him. And I think Bill said, okay, fine, you know, we'll take him.
And that's just, you know, you are an informed opinion maker. I'm an uninformed opinion maker. I just go on, you know, I don't know how it looks and feels to me. That's how it felt to me. That's how it feels to me. It's not a Bill Belichick type move where I just can't fathom that he has Mac Jones graded so much higher than the kid out Garrett Mills at Stanford or Trask or Kellen Mond or whoever. The Bill Belichick I know would have probably Mac Jones in a same general group with three or four guys, and he would say to himself, there's no need for me to take that guy here because I've got someone rated just right around the same grade. I can get that guy at the end of the second or the third, and that's where I'll take that guy because it's the same guy I'm going to take at 15, and I'll do something else at 15 with the higher grade. And that's what I feel like Bill would do if it were in a vacuum in a normal year. And I think all these other things conspired to make it an unnormal year and him to do something he doesn't normally do, Chris.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, look, Bill knows way more football than any of us. I don't think he thinks Mac Jones is the same as Davis Mills. He knows Mac Jones is better. But does he feel like he's that much better to warrant picking him at 15 versus, say, Davis Mills at 46? Does he think that he needs Mac Jones that much more to win than he does Davis Mills or Kellen Mond? To your point, no, he doesn't. He doesn't. And I still feel like, in a lot of ways, Bill looks at this quarterback position differently than everybody else still. I don't think he looks at it and says, okay, I absolutely have to have a complete, total franchise quarterback, stud type guy for me to win. He can win in his mind with a caretaker quarterback, with somebody who will execute the offense, run the system, not make mistakes, protect the football, be accurate, make good decisions. You don't have to be the machine. You just have to be a cog in the machine. I think that's how he looks at it. Mac Jones is a good fit for that. But again, you don't have to get that at 15. You could get that somewhere else in this draft.
Matt, you have a thought before I read some comments?
Well, no, I was just going to say to Chris that the fact that he took Mac Jones tells you exactly that, because I think that that's what Mac Jones is, Chris. If they really thought that, and this to me is what it is more than anything, is evidence of that Bill is still in that mode of thinking. The rest of us look at it, or many of us look at it, and say the league has changed. You need a dynamic quarterback. You got to have mobility. And clearly, Bill has not evolved to that point, or he wouldn't have drafted this kid.
Well, let me ask you, Chris. If it were Fields who dropped to 15 and not Mac Jones, would they have been in the same spot where all these big picture factors would have conspired for them to take Justin Fields?
At 15?
Yep.
I think so. Now, Fields is somebody with more upside. I can tell you, I mean, I reported before the draft, there was a lot of smoke out there about them moving up for Fields. I think that was false. They were not, Fields was not someone they had so identified that they were like, we have to move up for this guy. And they had the opportunity to move up for him, and they didn't do it. I think that was pretty telling. Now, if he's just sitting there at 15, the same way Mac Jones is, that's a real conversation. And you start to look at the value. Okay, here's somebody that could have gone third that has a ton of upside that we think we can coach and coax out of him. Maybe we should just take this guy. So I think it would have been similar. I do think they had Mac Jones rated higher. I don't think they loved Fields. But if Fields is sitting there at 15, I think it's a lot of the same dynamics and
exactly.
The same conversation. The question I guess I would have, and I honestly don't know the answer to this, Josh McDaniels, I think, really liked Mac Jones. I don't know how Josh McDaniels felt about Justin Fields.
So you think Josh had a real seat at the table here last night?
I'm not sure a real seat at the table, but he did go to the pro day. He went to the pro day in Alabama. He was there right next to Bill. I mean, when you talk about seat at the table last night, I don't think he's pounding the table saying we have to take Mac Jones, but they know that, and you're getting the feedback from your offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. I like this guy. We can win with this guy. We can plug this guy into the offense. He can execute our offense. I know I can get this guy to do what we need to do.
So going back to Bill's enthusiasm last night versus, say, for example, when he drafted Garoppolo back in 2014, here's just one comment. Back in 2014, we took Jimmy Garoppolo. He's got a lot of qualities. You see, I'm going to play with my voice, too, to make one sound worse and better.
So, yeah. Oh, I do. I love this. I love the contrast, so keep going.
Fine, I'm going to play up the contrast, you see. And if we just played the sound, the contrast wouldn't be as dramatic, so I'm going to dramatize it to drive home the point, suit the agenda. Because this is an agenda-filled Friday driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. We took Jimmy Garoppolo, said Bill, back in 2014. He's been a very productive player. Little different level of competition, but hopefully he can make that adjustment. I think that we felt as an organization that we needed to address that to some degree in the future. So we'll see how that all works out. Again, taking a shot at Brady in that. Here, so again, we took Jimmy Garoppolo. He's got a lot of the qualities that we admire in a quarterback. I'm sorry.
That's the money quote.
I'm sorry.
That's the money quote right there.
We took Jimmy Garoppolo. He's got a lot of qualities that we admire in a quarterback. He's been very productive player, dot, dot, dot. Last night on Mac Jones. So, Mac was available there at our pick, and he's a guy we spent a lot of time with, and we felt like that was the best pick at that time for us. Last night, he's just talking about the pick. He's not talking about...
It's like Mac was there, unfortunately, so I had to take him. The translation.
I mean, that's really it. He was available. I mean, that's when you said the first thing you say about the guy is that he was available for us. that's not quite pumping up the player and what you were looking for in the player. It's saying, no, that's the guy that was there. Back to my 2 a.m. last call analogy.
I was just going to say that.
1:50 a.m.
Exactly what it is.
1:50 a.m. I'm drunk. You're gross. Let's go.
On Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he's worked hard. He's a hard worker in the weight room, prepares well. Seems like he had a real good grasp of what they were doing and could explain it very thoroughly and the adjustments they had to make and so forth. I'm sure he's on top of it. Last night on Mac Jones, he's asked about Mac Jones's great college stats.
NCAA record for completion percentage.
77.4% completion percentage. He's asked about that. And Bill says, well, yeah, there are two different levels, so we'll see. It's great. I mean, that's what he said. I mean, the question sort of pointed it out. The question finished with, how important was that in evaluating him, and how transferable is that accuracy at the college level to the pro level? Bill immediately says, well, yeah, you said it. There are two different levels, so we'll see. Again, a little bit of a different enthusiasm level between the Garoppolo pick and what was the pick last night, which if you just want, again, narrow it down a little bit. Garoppolo was his pick, his call. He was horny to move on from Brady at that point. That was his guy. Last night wasn't quite as, you know, wasn't his guy. Wasn't his guy. But he went along with it and did it for a host of other reasons. Did you have another example of it, Casper, before I wade through more of this?
Another example of these, what he's saying here? Yeah, I mean, I can give this one real quick. Just in your interactions with Jimmy before the draft, what did you notice about his ability to process information? I think he's a smart kid. I don't think that's an issue. So then he's asked about Mac Jones. He's talking about some of the quarterback play and accuracy and all this other stuff. And he sort of goes on here to say, so I think, look, at this point, we're just going to have to see, like we do with every new player, every new draft choice, see how things transfer to the National Football League, to the speed, to the athleticism and instinctiveness and awareness of the players that any player is competing against on the other side of the ball, whether it's the quarterback or any other position. So we'll see how all those things play out and look forward to helping the rookies, new players this year, come in and learn and become familiar with terminology, blah, blah, blah.
So again, it's the enthusiasm gap. I mean, even just the way he treated the incumbents, where when you go back to the Garoppolo night, you know, the famous quote we play all the time, we all know Tom's age and contract situation, yes, very early than late. But, you know, as I read in that first answer, Bill made a couple of allusions in the course of that about Brady and the clock on Brady. Last night, before he's even asked about Mac Jones, he says, Cam Newton's my starter. And it's like, you know, even that is, you know, he immediately is placing Cam Newton on top of Mac Jones, and that's the way it is, fellas. So don't even bother asking. Where, again, the Garoppolo year, well, we all know Tom's age and contract. I mean, you know, we know what's coming down the pike here. And so it's, you know, it's not quite the same deal. And I'm with Gasper. I'm on others who think that, Bill, this was, again, to put it politely and euphemistically, it was a organizational decision is what happened last night. All right, so I've got more facilitation for Gasper, more of his thoughts. We'll take your thoughts as well, so don't go anywhere. Right back with Gasper after this.
Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass,
Number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think their interest in Justin Fields was real, you know, and I've got some connections in Columbus, and I know about some of the Patriots' actions there would tell me that they were very interested. And I don't think they sent Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler on a wild goose chase. I think there was very real interest there. Now, do I know that they, you know, like Justin Fields more than Mac Jones? I don't. It's possible they like Mac Jones more. You know, but I certainly think all five of the quarterbacks were a consideration. Of course, two of them were pretty unrealistic. And I think that they are going to be able to make the case that Mac Jones gives them the best chance to run the offense that they've run over the last 20 years.
That's Bert Breer last night with us on Boston Sports Tonight, the Mike Holley Show. So he says, you know, he believes they would have taken Fields if he were there at 15, but also says, well, I think it's obvious, Mac Jones is a better fit for the offense that they've run here and, you know, that sort of thing. So I think that's true too. But Gasper, if we're up to you, Fields or Mac Jones?
I don't really love either of them. I don't dislike, you know, it's not a dislike to Fields because I think he has more upside. And the funny thing about Justin Fields is that if you look at his numbers from not this past season, but the season before, he was Mac Jones. Go back and look at his 70% completion percentage, 40-plus touchdown passes, like four picks. He was Mac Jones from a production standpoint the year before at Ohio State. And you look at it and just wonder with the pandemic season and opt-outs, and obviously the Big Ten got a later start than everybody else. You wonder just how much it's recency bias with some of these teams, because if this had happened last year, there's no way that Justin Fields is in the position he's in last night, where he's going basically, you know, at the end, at the tail end of the top 10 in this draft.
So what would his bad nickname be? Fair Fields? Huh?
Mm? Okay. No, I have no idea.
God, what was I just going to say? Oh, so then what do you think was the purpose of all the smoke? And, you know, like a couple different things. Like why were the Patriots faking to trade up for Justin Fields? Like why would they, you know, what was the purpose of that misdirection then?
Maybe what the purpose always is, just to see if another team behind them would mortgage a lot of stuff to move up and take Fields, and then another player would fall to them, somebody that they wanted. I do think there is sort of that Machiavellian element there with Belichick of trying to not only sort of manipulate the board for his own team, but manipulate the board for other teams across the league and see if he can do it that way, if there's a little bit of sort of, you know, counterintelligence that happens where he can undermine some of these teams and what they want to do and freak them out. Because the reality is, here's what happens too. When teams hear that the Patriots are interested in a player, and you know this, Mike, from having covered the league, suddenly they're interested, or at the very least, they take a second look at that player and they say, man, if Bill Belichick's interested in this guy, maybe we need to go back and look at him again. Look at our scouting reports. It happens when they go to make a trade. They go to make a trade and they say, we want this guy. And the team's like, you do? Well, this guy's terrible. And then they'll like think about it and be like, oh man, if Belichick wants this guy, what are we missing? So maybe that was part of that, you know, Bill using that cachet he has to try and manipulate the board so it works out better for the Patriots. And then the Jets blew it up.
Okay, finally, do you think there was any faking out on the part of the Niners about, you know, Mac Jones, you know, cause all that Mac Jones hype? Do you think the Niners were playing a game, or they legitimately just changed their mind?
I honestly don't know. I don't have information on that. My opinion, raw opinion, I think they changed their mind. Mac Jones is the ideal quarterback for Shanahan. Shanahan believes in system above player. This is a guy who could come in and execute that system, and he would just be basically the point guard passer, a distributor. You know, I tell you to do this, you run this play, you get the ball to this guy, that's fine. And Kyle loves that stuff. I mean, that's exactly what he believes in. I think the scouts and John Lynch looked at it and said, we're better off with not just Trey Lance, but we're better off with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance than just Mac Jones. And I think that was sort of part of the calculus there, because I don't think that other people in that organization like John Lynch and some of the scouts and coaches are as down on Garoppolo as Shanahan is. And there's a thought process there that, yeah, okay, sure, Jimmy keeps the seat warm for Trey Lance, who has real upside. If Jimmy plays really well this year, we can still get rid of him, but now we're not selling low and we can get a first round pick back for him. That makes more sense, Kyle, doesn't it? Doesn't it? So I think that they were able to be in a position to sway Kyle Shanahan to come around and take Trey Lance and come around to the idea that their quarterback room is stronger with Lance and Garoppolo than just Jones.
So, Mike, look, you know, you and I have talked about this on the Patriots side of it. If people want to look at it and say Belichick got his guy, this thing went the way they wanted, then maybe there is something to that theory that San Francisco was floating the idea of Mac Jones out there because they knew the Patriots had an interest in Jones. And the way that they could blow it up was by saying they were going to pick Jones at three and try to leverage the Patriots into a deal for Garoppolo. And again, right. I'm giving you the scenario, okay? I believe that on some level, Bill Belichick did not want to make this pick. And so when I say that, I don't mean it as a reflection on Jones. I mean that he did not want to use his first-round pick on a quarterback. But if we believe that the Patriots wanted Jones, and many, many fans do, many followers do, if people believe that, well, then I think it's, you know, it would fit with that line of thinking to say San Francisco then said, well, no, we're going to take Jones at three.
So you better play ball with us on Garoppolo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep,
so,
exactly.
But, you know, and I would give the Niners that credit if I hadn't heard Kyle Shanahan in these press conferences the last couple of weeks. Like, I do not feel Kyle Shanahan has that in him. He can't even figure out what the right thing is to say at an effing press conference, which is like the right. easiest thing going. He can't even, you know, get that right. So how's he going to, you know, pull the strings like that and, again, play chess while everyone else is playing checkers? I don't feel like Shanahan is that guy. All right, let's take some calls here for Chris Gasper. Dave and Chelmsford, what do you got, Dave? Thanks for hanging on.
Hi, yeah. I think Maz just stole a little bit of my thunder, but I only add this. I think they targeted Mac Jones. And what makes you think that they wouldn't have traded up for Mac Jones if they thought that that was – maybe they had the lineman that they got with? They had like a backroom deal where call me if somebody calls you. You know what I mean?
Yep. Okay, so you
Mac
think David
– wanted to be a Pat, you know, something like that.
Dave, you think they targeted Mac Jones?
I think they targeted – I think – that they wanted Mac Jones, Matt, as Maz was saying, that maybe...
Well, let me just stop you. Chris, do you think they targeted Mac Jones?
Like, above all, like, the number one objective in
this is the guy we're coming away
with is Mac Jones.
Right.
I don't. I think that he was their best quarterback. I think he was the highest-rated guy on the board by the time they got to 15. But I think it was a typical Patriots draft. They were going to go offense. I think they had narrowed it down there. There were players that they liked. And it would have been interesting to see if Elijah Vera Tucker was on the board and Mac Jones was on the board, what they would have done. And the problem from my standpoint with what the caller's saying, which could be legitimate, I fully acknowledge that, is that you can't control what some of the teams behind you do. What if the Steelers or the Saints, they had seen Mac Jones dropping and all of a sudden they decided, you know what, we need our next guy. Let's make a Godfather offer here to Minnesota. Let's make a Godfather offer to the Chargers. Then all of a sudden you're in a position where you might not get that guy that is allegedly your guy and allegedly your guy that you're targeting the whole time. Now, did Bill read the board correctly? He absolutely did. You know, at the end of the day, they didn't have to go up to get him, but you can't sit here and convince me that he knew for a fact 100% that there was no one behind him who was willing to move up.
There's no targeting a player at 15.
Correct.
It doesn't exist at 15. That's not a target.
Correct.
So please, by the very definition of where you were drafting, that was not a target. That's not to say they don't like the player. It's just not a target. I think that's too strong of a word to put on that. And Chris, I disagree with you that if the guard was there, the Pats would have been in a choice between the franchise quarterback and the guard. Now we go back to this whole thing we started off with, what Kraft's wishes and the Garoppolo situation and where the organization stands and the missing and the need and all of that. I think they were going to take Mac Jones over the guard if that had come to that.
Well, you know, in Patriots fashion, some people feel like the guard is just a guard. Some teams feel like the guard can also play left tackle. So
Okay. So
if you feel like it's a left tackle versus a quarterback. And if you look at the way they built the team in the offseason, spending all that money in free agency, doesn't that scream the team philosophy is what's around the quarterback elevates the quarterback, not that we need a quarterback to elevate the team?
Yes.
I just think whatever forces that were tugging at them to take Mac Jones where they took him would have applied if the guard were on the table. And I know you say tackle, but to Robert and Jonathan Kraft, it's a guard tackle, whatever. we're taking the effing quarterback, and that's just what I think.
Are you trying to say that you could not put a full, like three-story banner of Elijah Vera Tucker on top of the Patriots Hall of Fame? Is that what you're trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is that doesn't sell luxury boxes. Here's Murray's update, and then we're back with more Gasper.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey Bill, there were so many rumors that Mac Jones could be taken as high as 3 to the 49ers. Was he a player that you were expecting might be there for you at 15? And was there any thought of moving up for him at any point during the first round?
Yeah, we don't usually go into the draft with a lot of expectations, and honestly, I missed a lot of those mock drafts, so I'm not really that familiar with where everybody wasn't going. We just try to do the best we can to help our football team. That's what we did today. That's what we've done in the past, and that's what we'll do tomorrow and on Saturday.
Okay, Belichick last night. Were you expecting Jones to be there at 15? Any thought of trading up? Obviously wouldn't answer it. But I'm with you guys. Somewhere in the recesses of his heart and head, he was hoping no quarterback would be there. He didn't have to deal with this, you know. And, you know, even just a little trade up, there's some cover because those trade ups were expensive. The move Chicago made was expensive. You know, that cost a lot. So even just to move up a couple spots to 11 or 10 or 9 would have cost you a future first-round pick or a second or something like that. And he could, you know, with a straight face, go to Robert and say, Robert, that's just too much for that player. And you would have to agree because it is. It is too much for that player. But when he's sitting there at 15, you got no cover. And so the pick was made. And, you know, as we pointed out, he was less than enthusiastic about it. And I think there's something to that. All right, let's go back to your phones here, as promised, with Chris Gasper. Paul in Fairhaven. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Good. What do you got?
Good. I'm changing my reason for calling a little bit after listening to you guys. But I'm really so happy last night. It was unbelievable, the draft. They got the guy they want. I think he could be like the Dan Marino of his era. He could be the best quarterback of the draft. But they're really calling in about Garoppolo. I know you guys love Garoppolo. I don't. But let's look at Garoppolo real quick.
Quick.
If you could have Kyle Kaepernick in the Super Bowl, this is my question for you guys. If Kyle Kaepernick was in the Super Bowl instead of Garoppolo, Garoppolo laid an egg. That's not an argument.
Okay, I'm not talking about Kyle Kaepernick. Do you think the Garoppolo thing is dead, Gasper?
Do I think for this season it is. For this season it's dead. Now, I'll just say this. Do I think that Belichick, in his heart of hearts, if you gave him sodium pentothal, would prefer Garoppolo to Mac Jones and tell you that? I do. I think if he could do it his way, Garoppolo would be on this roster right now and Mac Jones would not.
And by the way, that's my order too. I mean, I'm happy with Mac Jones. I'm fine with the pick. But Garoppolo would have been my preference, then Mac Jones, then Justin Fields. Gasper, would you rather have Garoppolo on this team right now or Mac Jones?
Garoppolo.
Why?
I think there's more upside there. He's proven in the NFL. He can run the system. And I go back to this thing that Jimmy told me, and I know I've told this story like a million times on the air, but Super Bowl 51, he's the scout team quarterback. I'm asking him about being scout team quarterback. He'd done it in 49 with Russell Wilson and the guys that said he'd done a great job. He was doing it with Matt Ryan. And I'm asking him about it, and I'm like, hey, who's your favorite quarterback to imitate? And he doesn't even hesitate, and he goes, Aaron Rodgers. I feel like there's a lot of similarities. I just kind of like that swag there. And Jimmy's problem in terms of staying on the field, I feel like, is somewhat related to trying to make some of those Rodgers-esque plays.
He's just so good.
That's on Aaron Rodgers. But
there's, Chris, there's such like unknown upside, though, that comes with a rookie quarterback.
Well, hold on. I'm sorry to jump on you, Murray, because this is just what I wanted to get to. What is Mac Jones's ceiling? Mac Jones can be more durable than Garoppolo, that's for sure. Okay, so that's an expectation.
Yeah, but he has a little more cushion for the pushing there.
Okay, definitely. But in terms of pure talent
level, he's just so good.
In terms of pure talent level, Chris,
he has like a skin flak jacket. Like, he doesn't even have to wear those flak jackets like Justin Fields did for his ribs after he got drilled. He didn't have to do that. He has like a natural flak jacket.
In terms of pure talent level, as I was saying,
yeah.
Does Mac Jones project ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo? I think that Mac Jones, at best, is Jimmy Garoppolo talent-wise.
That's interesting. So I'll just go with this. Again, I've been saying Andy Dalton, I think, ultimate upside, like, you know, the best of the best is Kirk Cousins. Pro Football Focus, their NFL player comparison was Derek Carr. I think that's the type of thing you could be dealing with at this point. So it just feels like, again, he's safe. He's a safe pick.
Well, but I'm telling you, I don't think he has more upside than Garoppolo other than durability. And these names you're giving me, I think, back that up.
I'm agreeing with you.
I mean, if the Pro Football Focus range and ceiling is Derek Carr, and you said Kirk Cousins grudgingly, but really Andy Dalton and A.J. McCarron,
yeah.
I'll take Garoppolo over all those guys, or certainly not behind any of those guys. And
me
so,
too.
So I'm taking Garoppolo over Jones. The only thing I'll give Jones is he should be more durable.
This is crazy talk to me. You guys are dug in and loving Garoppolo, and Chris is dug in hating Jag Jones. Like, Mitch Trubisky's one in the NFL. Who has more upside, Jones or Trubisky? Like, you've seen what you've seen with these guys. Like, the unknown with the rookie quarterback is always, there's way more upside with that than these guys that you know what they are.
Yeah, see, I don't look at it that way, though, Murray. I look at it as I look at the guy's ability and say that on a given day, if you needed him to, could he carry you? Now, there are some guys that can carry you every week, and those are the best of the best, the Mahomeses, the Watsons, the Bradys, you know, and I'm sort of lumping them into one pile. And then there are some guys that you say, you know, if you need him sometimes in a spot to really whip it around, he can do it, and he can get you a win when the rest of your offense isn't working. And see, I think Garoppolo can do that on occasion. I don't think that Mac Jones is going to be that kind of player.
Can I give you some informed opinion here?
No, yes, desperately.
Okay, informed opinion. Raw physical skills. They like Jimmy better. Quicker release. Quicker feet. So I mean, that's coming from them. Like Mac Jones doesn't have Garoppolo's release, which is elite. He doesn't have that, and he doesn't have some of his ability to make improvisational plays. So I think they would tell you that Garoppolo has more upside than Jones.
So what the hell's happened here? Bill couldn't win the deal, didn't want to pay a lot to get Garoppolo back, so they lost on that one. So they take the consolation prize and Mac Jones at 15?
Yep.
That's
what's
happened?
Yep. Exactly. He is a consolation prize, but a very safe one, and one that they feel like they can win with. I mean, again, it's sort of like they're not all that dissimilar from Kyle Shanahan in that they obviously believe in their system and that their system is the star. You have to remember, Josh McDaniels is the guy who went to Denver and basically alienated Jay Cutler so he could trade for Matt Castle, and then Bill wouldn't trade him Matt Castle. So what'd he do? He turned around and he had Kyle Orton as his quarterback, and he expected to win with Kyle Orton, and he did. He won his first six games with Kyle Orton, and then it all fell apart. So if you have an offensive coordinator who thinks he can win with Kyle Orton, you don't think that guy isn't going to look at Mac Jones and say, well, I can win with him.
But Chris, can I throw another name at you as a comp for Mac Jones? What about Tannehill? Do you think he could be what Tannehill has been in Tennessee?
He doesn't run as well.
Tannehill was a wide receiver for most of his college career at Texas A&M. He's way more athletic.
Okay, but I'm talking about as a passer, though.
Sure.
I'm talking because Tannehill has become an efficient passer in the NFL, right? But he's not one of these guys that's going to put up 400 yards on you.
Yeah, this is tough because this is another quarterback I hate, Tannehill, but he actually has become pretty good. Yeah, I could see that, you know, sort of just, again, flow with the system, make the right decisions, be effective, be efficient. Mac Jones could absolutely do that.
But back to the point, I think that Mac Jones was a consolation to Garoppolo. It was. I think Garoppolo
definitely
was plan A. I think he should have been plan A. And I don't mean like I'd still take Stafford over him, but, you know, where we are today, where we were this week, Garoppolo was plan A. And they couldn't hammer out the deal with him or the Niners. And they said, F you, we'll just get the next guy and go pound sand. And you really have to come crawling to us if you want to get this deal done. And that's where Bill wants to be. Jones is leverage against Garoppolo, too. It is. We're not going to meet your price. We got our guy. That's Stephon Gilmore to Malcolm Butler. That he's done this a million times. I'm surprised it took him so long to do it at quarterback, but he finally did it. But it is a tough pill to swallow. I do think Mac Jones was a consolation prize for them. We're going to wrap it up with Gasper in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I really was thinking, even if there was a quarterback sitting there at 15, that Bill would not pick him, would not pick a quarterback, just because he thinks he can win with Cam Newton. My feeling is that's exactly how he thinks.
Okay.
But my feeling is that Robert Kraft probably intervened and said, this is what we need to do. And just think about it. Now that Mac Jones has been drafted by the Patriots, the dogs are going to be called off. It really takes a lot of pressure off the Patriots in answering that question. Do the Patriots have a plan of quarterbacks? And so that'll satisfy at least the fans and the media around here until we see Mac Jones play.
Ted Johnson this morning with TNR. He thinks Robert had an influence in this pick. And the factors, the big picture factors involved in this pick, I agree with him. I do. It does call off the dogs. That was a big question hanging over the team. What are you doing at quarterback? How do you let that guy go and have no plan? I mean, we've been merciless, meaning Felger and Maz, but we're not the only ones. I mean, that's just and it's a legit question. It's a legit topic. What are you doing after Brady? It hangs. It's hanging over the organization's head, which Bill, I think, cares less about. Like, that's not his deal. He doesn't care. But Robert? Like, that's different. I think Ted's right to hit on those fault lines, Gasper. You have a thought?
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. And to what Murray was saying before, you know, he was talking about the idea of the upside and sort of the, you know, just the empty vessel that is a rookie, and particularly a rookie quarterback, that you can fill with all your hopes and dreams. I mean, you know, it's a lot like marriage. Like, you look at it and half of the men in divorce, but nobody ever thinks they're going to be in that 50%. Nobody ever thinks that they're going to get Cade McNown or Jake Locker. They always think they're going to get, my team just drafted Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert.
Or Dan Marino.
The previous caller just said Dan Marino. Thank you. Go.
Yeah. So now to Murray's point and to Ted Johnson's point, the Patriots and the Crafts have something to sell that they couldn't have sold before last night. Hope. They can now sell hope. They could not sell hope before. Even with everything they did in the offseason, it was hard to sell hope because you looked and you said, well, who's the quarterback? It's the same guy. Now you can sell hope both for this year and long-term in Mac Jones. And all of the card-carrying Patriots fans, credit card-carrying Patriots fans like Murray, will be excited. And now they feel like, okay, we have hope. We have a successor. We found our guy. There's a path forward. And that's a powerful emotion to be able to sell if you're a sports franchise.
Yeah. What did Andy say in Shawshank Redemption there, Gasper? Hope's a good thing, maybe the best of things. No good thing ever dies.
Well, let me just tell you, what did the architect say in The Matrix? He said, hope is the quintessential human delusion, simultaneously the source of your greatest strength and your greatest weakness.
Oh, here we go.
I don't like the Eric Garoppolo guy.
Okay, no, this to me is the great, talking about The Matrix. I mean, Chris telling me Garoppolo's elite with it. I love it. I don't want to get in the way of it. Just shush. Just let him go. But the whole thing about hope and like that ain't Bill's side of the street. Like, he's hopeless. Gloom. Like, he didn't give a crap about that. So again, I think it's all these other factors and forces. It still might be the right pick. Again, we're just talking about the underlying, you know, the foundation of it. And I think those topics are interesting. Chris, what do you think the situation is going forward? Bill was really adamant last night about Cam being the starter and where, you know, Mac Jones is going to start from. He's right there with Stidham. And how do you think this all plays out? Is there any chance Mac Jones plays as a rookie?
Oh, I think there's a chance he plays as a rookie. I don't think he's going to be the week one starter. What's interesting is that Bill's in a place now after not making the playoffs where clearly the mandate and the mission for him just personally will be to make the playoffs again, get back in the playoffs. Does he want to mess around with a rookie quarterback and live with those growing pains in the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season where that could cost you a game or two, which could be the difference between making the playoffs at 10-6 or finishing 8-8 and missing it? And that's why I feel like he's not going to want to do that. So for the first 4, 5, 6 games, it will be Cam. And if Mac Jones, if Cam's having one of those games like last year he had where they yanked him and they put in Jarrett Stidham, then Jones will come in. And if Jones plays well, they'll just turn it over to him.
Yeah, well, what if Cam sucks and the kid's not ready? Like, that's sort of the scenario that scares me still.
Well, clearly you haven't been reading any of the Patriots reporting, Mads. If that happens, it just shows you that Jarrett Stidham was plan A all along, obviously.
Yeah,
that's
right,
obviously exactly how it works.
So I'm still disappointed in the room, at the quarterback room, because I just have this silly notion that I want Bill right back in that argument with Brady from last year. Brady had his turn last year, and I want Bill to try and answer. And that means you got to really, really contend. And to match, you got to win it all. Okay. So, but putting that aside, having a really good year, being a serious playoff team, and that's why their quarterback room disappoints me. I don't think Mac Jones is going to be ready to do that. Very few rookies are. I mean, that's just the fact. More are playing as rookies, but they come in middle of the year, or there's some sort of goofy circumstance, and as great as Justin Herbert was, it took the starter getting stabbed by the team doctor, and they still went 4-12 or whatever it was. It's like this notion that the rookie quarterback's going to do it is just, the odds are so long on that, and I want them right back in the mix this year, and Cam Newton is not good enough to get me there. So I'm still sort of, as I look here in the short term, I'm dissatisfied. I'm dissatisfied with where they're at, Gasper and Maz, if anyone wants to chime in on that.
Well, look, again, Chris, I don't know your feeling on this. I thought that they needed to upgrade both the starter and the backup. To me, that was, I felt like they needed two quarterbacks all along. Now, look, again, you can say, all right, well, if you get Garoppolo, you can go slower on the future guy or the long-term guy. But I just feel like, okay, well, now there's a plan in place, at least in theory, for a longer-term guy, a quarterback. That's great. I still think they need an upgraded starter. They had one of the worst passing games in the league last year. And if Cam is a starter again at the beginning of 2021, I don't see how that changes all that dramatically.
Yeah, I think that they feel like it will change based on what's around him, and they're not done. I would expect them to draft a wide receiver at some point in this draft. I don't know if it will be today. I think day two, if I had to guess, I would say defense coming up here in the second round, but who knows what's on the board. And this is a deep wide receiver draft. Again, I know I've said it multiple times, but they're inverting the model. Instead of having the quarterback elevate the complementary players that are around him, the quarterback now is a complementary player, and they feel like the rest of the team will elevate him and elevate his play.
Okay, Gasper, I'm sorry, but the sound is just too good. It's not going anywhere, and we're just going to...
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Just give it to me one more time. It's so good. It's like...
Sweet. I'm going to change this guy's name. This guy's name isn't Mac Jones. It's Jag Jones, because that's what he is. He's a Jag. Jag Jones.
Oh, when it comes to like sports takes, it's like, oh, the sweet nectar. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I was really sweating it out last night. I'm like, oh, God, please. No. Don't draft this guy. Like, no. Jag Jones. Of course. Now this guy's going to win like 5 Super Bowls, and I'm never going to live this down. Yeah. But I'm in the take bunker for now. It's still safe in the take bunker, and I'm still there. I've cracked it open just a bit, Felgie. A little bit of light is coming in, and that light is me saying, well, he could be Kirk Cousins instead of Andy Dalton. But large upshot here, I think with the Patriots, you are now sort of in the Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, Kirk Cousins ilk of quarterback. God, and this will be, vomit. But it's fascinating, though. It's great for you guys because now we know, like, imagine if Bill wins a Super Bowl with that type of quarterback. Like, isn't that a huge storyline narrative? Isn't that a huge feather in Belichick's cap and all those years of the Brady Belichick debate? If he wins with that type of quarterback, then that's big for Bill.
He was still
who are the guys you just mentioned again? Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, and who?
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that's what Mac Jones projects as.
I know. The problem is none of those guys have balls. That's the problem. So I hope Mac Jones is those guys with balls. Then maybe we can talk.
Do we have Gasper and Murray tomorrow?
Yeah, short show, though, because of the Bruins. So we're only on until 12:30, 11 to 12:30.
So you got to just pound out those takes, Chris.
Ultimate ceiling is Cousins. He could be Dalton. End of the day, I think he's between two former Bengals quarterbacks. I think he falls somewhere between Dalton and AJ McCarron.
Oh, so good.
I've upgraded that. I've upgraded.
We're going to lose that tape. We have Chris, we have what we need. Thank
Ultimate
you.
Ceiling is Cousins.
We'll catch you next week, all right?
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, bye. Here's an update from Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials, I promise. Back to your reaction to the drafting of Mac Jones. Don't go anywhere.
Jack Jones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.